Mark chapter 6 and the verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Amen. We'll end our reading there. Trust in the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only one of the miracles performed by our Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry that is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. And that fact that this miracle is recorded in all 4 Gospels emphasizes too its uniqueness, and it certainly points to its great importance. Now, this miracle was the greatest the Lord had performed in his Galilean ministry. And that part of the Lord's ministry in Galilee was now drawing to a close. And the Lord's remainder of his ministry would really be focused more upon Judea. Now, this miracle took place in the spring. And we read of the grass that the people were to sit down upon. It was the springtime. We know from the other Gospels that it was shortly before the Passover. And so it was just a little over a year before the Lord would be crucified that this great miracle took place. As the Lord's teaching on this particular occasion came to a close, the disciples, they urged the Lord to send the great crowd away. So remember, we saw last time how the Lord and his disciples had got onto the boat. They had began to make their way across the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord had taken them aside for a time of rest. But that time of rest really was cut short, because many of the people had followed them around upon the shore. And so when the Lord came out, then there was this great multitude before him. The Lord had not sent them away, but the Lord had ministered to them. But then in verse 36, the disciples said, Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages Now, it would be easy to be harsh with the disciples for those words, send them away. Christ had been willing to minister to them, and the disciples said, send them away. But I must say this in their defence, they saw that the people needed food. And so they didn't say, send them away that we might get that rest that you talked about. But rather they said, send them away that they might be fed. Because the disciples recognised that these people were hungry and they stood in great need of food. But that in itself was a dangerous proposition. Because the people were so hungry. They had gone all day, perhaps even from the day before, without food. And it was a distance to the villages that lay round about. It was certainly quite a walk back home for many of these people. And there was danger then that some would collapse in the journey. And so the Lord said to him in verse 37, give ye them to eat. And so the disciples said, recognize these people need to be fed. And the Lord said, you should feed them. They need fed. You should feed them. And the Lord, as he spoke those words, in the ears of the disciples, it seemed an absolute impossibility. How can we feed them? There were three evident problems. The lateness of the hour. The evening was closing in. And the opportunities then for the disciples to get food were severely limited. Then there was the location of the gathering. It was a very isolated place. There weren't shops or McDonald's lying round the corner. There was nowhere to find bread. And then there was also the lack in the kitchen. And the disciples mentioned this figure of 200 denarii or 200 pence. That was quite a lot of money. Around 8 months' wages for a working man. But even if they had that, that wouldn't have been sufficient. And as far as the amount of food that was there, it was limited to 5 loaves, 5 little buns or baps of bread, and 2 fish. So when the Lord said, you feed them, the Lord really was testing them. And we know that from John chapter 6. Where concerning the Lord speaking with Philip, it is made clear that the Lord was testing him. Now, while it seemed an impossibility that they could feed, the Lord said, give ye them to eat. The disciples were thinking, we cannot do it. Yet the Lord enabled them to do it. So the Lord gave a command and he enabled them to obey. Because in verse 41, when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. The Lord gave to the disciples the bread and the fish that they needed to obey the command. So when the Lord gave that command, give ye them to eat, he not only gave the command, but he gave the ability to obey. Christ enabled them to obey his command. The Lord does that in conversion. What is the Lord's command to the sinner? Repent. Believe. And yet the sinner in himself does not have the ability to repent or the ability to believe. The sinner is one that is dead in trespasses and sins. And the likelihood then of a sinner in himself repenting and believing is as likely as going out to the graveyard and shouting, come forth. The dead in the grave doesn't have the ability to hear, never mind to obey. But remember when the Lord came to the grave of Lazarus, the Lord said, come forth. A dead corpse cannot hear. A dead corpse cannot come forth. The Lord not only gave the command, he gave the ability to respond. And that's what the Lord then does. He gives to the sinner the gifts of faith and repentance. And as he says, repent and believe, the Lord gives the gifts that they might obey. And the same is true in the Christian life. The Lord commands to do various things if we do not have the ability in ourselves to fulfill. But when the Lord calls, the Lord equips. What I wanted to see together this morning is that the Lord does command us to give the multitude to eat. So we think of these words in the verse 37, where the Lord answered his disciples and he said, "Give ye them to eat." We can imagine thinking of the multitudes today around us, and we say to the Lord, they are spiritually hungry. They are perishing in their sin. The Lord, he turns to us and he says, "You feed them. You give them what they need." Then the Lord not only gives that command, but he has given us the very bread to give to them. He has given us the gospel. And therefore this miracle, sometimes referred to as the creative miracle, is one that illustrates our duty. Having been given the bread, we must set it before the multitudes. And so we're looking then at giving the multitude food to eat. I want to see, first of all, the disciples gave that which was the provision of Christ. They gave that which was the provision of Christ, that which Christ had provided for them. Remember, one of the titles of the Lord is the Lord who provides, Jehovah Jireh. And the Lord then was showing himself here that he was Jehovah Jireh. The disciples could not make loaves and fish to feed this crowd. They could not purchase loaves to feed this crowd. They could not multiply loaves and fish to feed this crowd. But they could pass out what the Lord would give to them. And we do not have the ability then to manufacture a message that will satisfy the needs of the hearts of the ungodly. We do not have the ability to bring a message of ourselves that is the answer to the souls of men and women. We're not asked. The Lord asks us to take what he has given us. The glorious gospel as it's revealed in his word. We are to take that and set it before the multitudes. Now thinking of what the Lord provided, this bread and fish. And the food the Lord gave was free. When the disciples then went around the groups of 50 and 100, the disciples were not asking for some payment. The bread was being given entirely free to them. And now if they were to purchase that amount of food that was there that day, how costly it would have been. But it was given freely. Does that not remind us of the gospel? There is forgiveness of sin. There is pardon. There is that great justification. And it's given freely. Remember that great closing invitation in the gospel in Revelation 22 in the verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Freely. The gospel is given freely. And while there was great cost involved in procuring the gospel, in purchasing the gospel, the great price in the shed blood of Christ, yet all of those blessings in the gospel, they are offered freely. This food was not only freely given, it was prepared. And when the bread and the fish then were being distributed, it wasn't dough that needed to be baked. It wasn't raw fish that needed to be fried. And there was no cooking prepared. And as the Lord had done this great miracle, and the food was ready for eating, and therefore all the people had to do was reach out and take what was given. It was ready. And surely that is like the gospel. What Christ offers to the sinner is something that is complete. Something that is finished. And so the gospel is not, take this dough and put it in the oven and your effort plus God's grace equals salvation. That is not the message of the gospel. It is not Christ plus the sacraments. It is not Christ plus the prayer or Christ plus rosary. It is Christ alone. Christ has finished the work. And so the bread, it was free. The bread was prepared, and the bread was abundant. And there was no limit on how much they were to eat. And so the food was set before them. They could take what was needed. And so there was no one that was going to leave that scene hungry. There was no one that was going to go away saying, I wish that I could only have a little bit more. They went home satisfied. We see there in the verse 42, they did all eat and were filled. And the word filled there also has that idea of satisfied. Remember how the prodigal son, he said, there's bread enough in the father's house and to spare. There was here a great provision and abundance. And again, that reminds us of the gospel. For the sinner, as he is brought in faith and repentance to our Lord, if they truly come to the Lord, they cannot be disappointed. For the gospel more than satisfies. Everything that the sinner needs is offered. And isn't this the great message then that the Lord has given into our hands? A message of a free salvation, a full salvation, a finished salvation. And the Lord says to us as God's people, give it to the people. Present it before them. Let us not then seek to manufacture a message that might be seen as clever. Let us be faithful to the simplicity of the gospel. Perhaps there's one in the meeting this morning and you have never come to Christ. You know much about the gospel, but you don't know Christ himself. You know much about the Lord being the provider, but you've never actually taken what he has provided. And oh, today that you would come and take that which is given freely, that which is given fully, that which is finished. May you come and take Christ. And so we see that they gave that which was the provision of Christ. But I want to see, secondly, that they gave that which was a presentation of Christ. For as these disciples went around the crowd and they were giving out the bread, this bread had not only been provided by the Lord, but it actually spoke of him. It was a picture of him. And so the bread was literal bread. This was literal food. And as the people partook of it, they did physically eat and they were physically refreshed. But there was a spiritual meaning in it. And so in no way am I trying to discredit the miracle. It was a true miracle. This was true literal bread, but there was a spiritual meaning in it. If you turn with me to John chapter 6, and that is made abundantly clear in this particular chapter. And this chapter really is a prolonged exposition on the subject of the feeding of the 5,000. And I encourage you to take the time to read through the chapter later. But in John chapter 6 and the verse 14, having been fed, we read, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. As the people saw the miracle, then they said, this is the prophet that the Old Testament promised. That is, Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. And this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the multiplication of the bread and fish, was the confirmation that Jesus was the Messiah. The great tragedy of John 6 is that while they knew him to be the Messiah, the vast majority of the crowd would not trust in him. The vast majority of the crowd would not rest upon him. And one of the reasons for that was that they wanted the Messiah to fit into their own preconceptions of who the Messiah would be. And so they had this notion that the Messiah was to be a political deliverer, a political leader. And as they thought about that in their own historical context, they thought, surely then, this man, he's come, he's the prophet that the Old Testament has spoken of, he is the Messiah, And so he's going to deliver us from the Romans. And so if you notice what it says in verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. They had no desire for him to be a saviour. But they did want him to be a king. And as they saw this miracle, they saw the confirmation, this is the Messiah of God. They said, we will have him as a king. So then, some were happy for the miracle. They even wanted to see the miracle performed again. For the next day, they came back wanting the miracle performed again. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They enjoyed the food the day before. They wanted to be fed again. But they didn't want the message of the Lord. So the bread is speaking of the Messiah. The Messiah is the living bread. John 6 and the verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And in the verse 48, I am that bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the living bread. And the Lord then, as he was speaking to the people, he was showing them that the miracle of the multiplication of bread was speaking of himself. Therefore, as the disciples went around distributing the bread, they were distributing this symbol, which was a picture of Christ himself, the living bread. It's all very good knowing that you have bread in the cupboard. It's all very good cutting the bread and having it on the plate. But bread on a plate does not nourish the body. Bread must go into the mouth. So the day before, when they saw the bread, they took it. They fed upon it. If you look then at verse 51 again, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. What is it to eat of Jesus Christ? It's speaking of faith. And so then, as the disciples were distributing the bread and the people would reach out and they would eat it, it was a picture to them of what they must do. They must, by faith, reach out and take hold of Christ. They must feed upon him. And so to believe is not merely head knowledge. It's not just to know various things about who Jesus Christ is. Just as the bread must go into the stomach, so Christ must be rested upon personally. There must be a coming to him. As the Lord spoke then to these people, many struggled with that. They were happy for the miracle, but they did not want the spiritual teaching. We read very tragic words then in John 6 verse 66. John 6 verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, it's not speaking of the 12, because we read of them in the next verse. But rather, it's speaking of many that had followed the Lord on account of the miracles. They enjoyed the miracles. They enjoyed the bread. But they did not enjoy the preaching. It got too difficult for them to stomach. And as the Lord preached, many turned away. They followed him no more. And the Lord then turned to the 12 in verse 67. And he asked them, will ye also go away? You've watched the crowds leave. Are you going to go away as well? And Peter then made a great confession in verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And Peter recognized then the truth. That the bread is the bread of life. Jesus has the words of life. And today then there is this great question. As you're confronted with the truth, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The Messiah is the living bread
Will you feed upon him? Will you take? Will you rest upon him alone? Or will his words be too hard? Will you turn away? Oh, that you would say instead, to whom else can we go? Jesus Christ alone has the words of eternal life. So the Messiah is the living bread, and the Messiah is also the shepherd. If you turn back with me, please, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And last Lord's Day, I pointed out the words in the verse 34. Mark 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. The Lord then, as he looked upon the people, he saw them like as if they were sheep. Sheep that had no shepherd. Now you look with me then at verse 39. The Lord commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. There are never words in Scripture wasted. Why is it emphasized, sit on the green grass? Because the Lord had looked upon the people like a sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord's command now is, sit down, rest upon the grass. The Lord is the true shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And as the Lord then gave those words of command, he was illustrating to the people as the disciples went around with the bread and the fish. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He makes you lie down in the green grass. He has brought you to the pasture. And oh then that you would have that great blessing of feeding upon the word of God. Is he your shepherd? Have you heard those sweet words? Sit here and rest. Have you heard those great words of the shepherd ministering into your heart? The one that is, the one that did lay down his life for his sheep. The Messiah is the living bread. He's the shepherd. The Messiah is God. And for in this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we have a great manifestation of the deity, the Godhead, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. He evidenced that in his power. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish. And by it, he produced enough for 5,000 men and more besides. For the ladies and the children were not included in that number, 5,000. And so there was a great number, and the Lord, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he brought enough for them all. There's an evidence of his divine power. There's also evidence of his great divine wisdom and knowledge. If you look with me at verse 43, it says, after the people had eaten and were filled, that the disciples took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. Who were the 12 baskets of fragments for? They were for the disciples. We know from the other Gospels that the disciples then got into the ship and they brought the bread with them. I want you to think about that. The Lord had performed this great miracle, enough to feed every individual that was gathered there on that hillside that particular evening. And then the Lord was saying to the disciples, this is your allowance, 12 baskets full. Was that just a coincidence? How come it wasn't 10 baskets? How come it wasn't 10 baskets short? The Lord had calculated exactly how much bread was necessary to feed the multitude and to leave exactly 12 baskets over. He knew how much every individual would eat. He knew exactly how much was required. No man could have such knowledge. Here we have, no mere man I should say, would have such knowledge. We have here a presentation of the great divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, does that not remind us of the gospel? If Jesus Christ is not God, there is no gospel. If he is not the God, or very God, then he cannot be that one mediator between God and man. But here he revealed his deity then, at this great time, the feeding of the 5,000. I want to see then, lastly, the Messiah is the substitute. Because in verse 41, when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples. He broke the loaves. Just over a year later, the Lord would do something similar before the disciples. As the disciples were gathered around the table at the Last Supper, the Lord took the bread and he broke the bread. The purpose on that occasion was not to multiply it. But remember how the Lord showed the disciples that that bread was a picture of his body. And so as the bread was broken at the table, it was speaking of his broken body at Calvary. It was speaking of all the sufferings that he would endure. And not only at the hands of men, but the hands of God the Father. As the wrath of God was poured out upon the lovely Son of God. Now thinking of this particular incident then, where the Lord had the loaves and he broke them and multiplied them. He broke the bread and multiplied it as bread. The Lord broke the body so that there might be a greater body. Isn't there a wonderful foretaste of the gospel? Christ's body was broken, his physical body, that there might be the miracle of the bringing forth of a much greater body, the body of Christ, that is, the church. And as Christ then was broken on Calvary, as it were, he was broken that there might come forth then this beautiful body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. From the giving of his life, we have been given life. And here surely we see in what the Lord would have us to distribute to the crowds that are before us in these days. We are to go forth not testifying of ourselves, but testifying of Jesus Christ. He is the living bread. He is the shepherd. He is God. He is the substitute. And today, if there is one in the meeting without Christ, we don't testify of ourselves. We don't testify of a denomination, a congregation, but we testify of Jesus Christ only. Though that you today would be brought to him, that your heart would be bowed before him, that you would come and rest upon the work of Christ alone. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. We bow together, please, in closing in prayer.